Could you introduce yourself and tell me your name, when you were born, where you were born, and where we are right now?
My name is Earl L. Canavay, Jr. I was born November the 1st, 1938, in Malden.
And where are we right now?
We're in Hurricane at my residence. 1203 Forest Drive in Hurricane, that's in Moss Street.
And could you introduce yourself?
My name is Harriet Harrison. I'm your sister. I was born May 30th, 1929. I was at Pentecost.
And could you tell me a little bit about your family, your childhood, what your parents did, and your upbringing?
My mother was a substitute teacher, and my father worked for Ford Motor Company before going to the Dickinson Salt Works, working with his dad, my granddad.
So, was there a Ford company in Malden or in Charleston?
The Ford company was located in Charleston, and he was the foreman at that company, and so he kind of foresaw that it was going to close out, and that's why he went to work with his dad.
And why don't you tell me about that store?
The company store was, okay, I was contacted by Mr. Henry Horton, who was the secretary at the Malden Salt Works for Mr. Dickinson and John Dickinson. And he asked me, would I be interested in working in the company store? I was only 14 years old, and my parents were informed that I would have to work under the child labor law. I would work on Fridays after school in the company store, and then all day Saturday selling goods to the people that worked there at the salt works. It was an experience. I learned a lot. You had to slice bologna and bacon and cheese. And we used an old ice chest. They would bring a block of ice to keep it cold. And the people would come in, the wives of the people that worked there, or they would stop on the way going home. And we would order 50 pounds of chicken, cheese, and so forth. And the ladies would come in and pick out the bag that it was in for the print, because they would make the dresses for the daughters and for the girls. So I would just record what they bought, and they had a gas pump, and I would go out and crank up the gas pump and put gas in the vehicle if they needed it. And I worked there from 1952 to the summer of 1956, when I graduated from high school, and I made a whopping a lot of money.
Really?
They were very generous. I think I checked my records from Social Security when I first started work, and for the whole year I made like $311. But I used it to buy a bicycle. Recently I went up, and anyone that previously had worked there, they would carve their initials on the window frame in the store. And I went up to, got a chance to go in the building and look around, and they were doing some work, and I thought, I'm going to see my initials. some paintings, and my name wasn't there. I remember a lot about the office and Mr. Dickinson and John and Rusty and Mel. Just a good experience and work ethic and to see how that operation ran on the farm and then out going into the field where they brought the wells and so forth.
About how many people were living and working there?
Oh, my goodness. This would be an estimation because at the time that I was there in 52, the salt works was no longer in operation. They were making very mild and very mean a basis for aspirin. And I would say that this guessing no more than 12 employees working. They had the two truck drivers, and then they had my granddad running the maintenance shop and field horses, and then they had some people that worked on the farm and people that worked in the making the burnout and burnout. So it wasn't in the heyday of the salt work, but it was the aftermath that they kept the men employed.
Mm. So would you say 20 families, 50 families?
The ones that worked in that you could probably say that. Of course, in the company houses, some people lived in the company houses that didn't work there. And Mr. Dent, and a Mr. Walker, and a Mr. Thomas Brown, and a Hubert Brown, they all lived in company houses right there.
And was that on the location where the salt works was?
That was on the road leading up to the salt works and then back in the salt works. I drove up by there just to familiarize myself with the area, and it had all grown up, and I didn't see any country houses. I know where they were, and I know who lived there, but since Paris Alex went in the upper part of the field, there were company houses up there also. And my granddad, he lived in Malden, right out from the entrance to the road leading up to the salt creek, in a house, and of course he would walk up there to work every day.
Can you describe what the store looked like on the inside?
Well, we did have some mice. And we sold, they had dry goods, you could buy material by the roll, a lot of canned things. They had some hardware that the men would come in and they would have to have a particular file or something, and they would just get it there. Sold a lot of food for the farm animals. Not like a grocery store today with a lot of perishables, no produce, but just the staples that the people could charge on their account until they would get their check and then pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a good variety for an old-fashioned country store.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what your father and grandfather did for the Dickinson?
Can you tell about grandfather? He's saying that the whole time he's talking about
thing that needed to be done. He was a blacksmith in his own right. He could make hinges with a hinge drill. I went in the shop where he worked, and he had any type of machine that you could think with, and it was run by big belts. Also, one motor was run multiple machines, and he was showing them. He was a very unique individual, and he loved his work. Always had a little short cigar. We called it a stogie in his mouth, but he never smoked it. He would just chew on the end. Mm-hmm. Very clean cut man.
Mm-hmm. And was he from Marvin?
He was from Marvin. My grandmother was a Marvin that he married, and they lived there in Marvin and had two sons and one daughter, and one son was my father. Well, that's kind of being senior, and I'm a junior.
And what is your father's name?
I'm not totally sure, because I wasn't in that. I was little then, and I'm not sure what he did, but most of the men did about anything that needed to be done in processing the salt and pumping the brine into the vat, letting the water or brine escape, and then the crystallized salt would be there in gigantic vats.
So do you remember those?
I remember those, and the reason I remember those, when we were little boys and lived in Malden, and in June, when the June apples would come on the trees, we would get a bag of June apples and walk up to the salt vat, because they were closed then, and we would eat the June apples and dip them in that salt that had been left.
That's pretty good.
Do you have memories of the salt works?
Yes, we were always fascinated when we were go there, because our grandfather would take time out to walk us around and show us different things.
Salty apples, I don't know if I've ever had a salty apple. That doesn't appear in my mouth.
The salt was probably, I'm estimating, maybe 50 feet long and 20 feet wide, and they were about 12 inches or more tall. And through the years, where the salt brine had penetrated the wood, it was kind of old and fuzzy. But I do remember we would walk in the back, and they were too.
And what were they made up for?
They were wood. Wooden back. And they would let the brine flow, the liquid flow off. And the salt would be not like full salt or fine salt you would buy in the store. They were kind of large crystals. And they, where they stopped, they just piled the salt up when they went out of business. And that's the salt that we did.
Okay. Was it
it's hard to say because it had been there so long, it was kind of dirty. But it was kind of a bright orange or cream color.
Okay. Because I thought Nancy was going
to say it was way dirty when you can see the pink of the
salt. It could have been.
So those families that were working, they were mostly white families, or were there African American families?
Okay, they were the ones that were working that I remember Dickinson will take him in his car to the bank and run errands, and Mrs. Jordan would do all the cooking and cleaning and a little bit of food. And they lived in a little house, not a slave quarter, but it was a little house, close to, and it may still be standing, close to the mansion. We called it the mansion because it was the biggest house in Malden. And everybody would say, Dickinson's mansion. And I was told one time, Mr. Jordan said,
an apple when?
Yeah, I used to run away and do the dining room table.
Oh, you did? That's all the coffee you got.
Yeah, I would pack a peanut butter sandwich and I'll take some books down. But I would hold them. let's see, what else?
Would you like to know some of the names of the people that I remember?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Okay. The Kennedy family is third generation, so we're from four divisions. And my grandfather, Louis Cholera, which was everybody called Lou, he was the maintenance or power until he was over the front. When my dad, Earl Canterbury Sr., he was there. When I'm Earl Canterbury Jr., I worked in the store. When my sister, Harry Hastings, she worked in the office of the bank building for Mr. Jefferson. The people that I know that worked up there and I saw was a Mr. Dent, and he lived in a company house close to the entrance of the road going up there. And Mr. Shirky Walker, he lived in a company house close to Mr. Dent. And Mr. Smead, and he lived at Georgia Street, that's close to Marvin. And he worked in the Bernard and Bernays that I saw. Then another Mr. Dent was probably kin to the other one. He lived in Georgia Street and he worked in the Bernard and Bernays. Then there was a Bill Meadows. He was a truck driver. And of course he's deceased now, also along with Hubert Graham. And then I mentioned Mr. and Miss Jordan, they were the housekeepers and so forth. Then a gentleman I had contact with all of the time was the secretary to Mr. Dickinson there at the Salt Works, Eunice Horton. He was crippled, but he was a genuine friend of the Dickinson. Then a Mr. Homer Brown, he lived in a company house close to the Walkers and the Dents, and I don't know if he was a surveyor or what. And a handyman by the name of J.B. Marshall, he did work there after I left, but I know that he worked up there. I've seen him walking home from work. And I got to know Nell because we were all growing up and she would ride horses and got to turn around a little bit with Rusty. That's Mrs. Price's children. And of course I knew Mrs. Price until she died and I would see her frequent. Of course he would be shopping in the treasure store next door. I worked for years and she would come in with all those cards. Rusty and I would work on games together there in the Mr. Dickinson's office. That's a very small family and it gave me some good work there. Those are just the people I can remember that maybe descendants. I'm sure some of the descendants. I know there has to be with the Walker family because there was at least 12 of them ended up in the silo and mixed my license with it. And they had a water tower there. I think I looked for it, and I think it may have been dilapidated, but they had water in the tower to use there in the summertime. And just reminiscing, going through the office and seeing the space that they had, and Mr. Dickinson's straw hat and coat on them, and his desk and Mr. Horton's desk, and the ledgers that where they reported or where they shut down, I think in 35, that was so legible. And just fond memories of growing up, riding my bicycle to work and back home.
The bicycle or the
bicycle? I didn't have enough money to buy a bicycle, but my sisters had a bicycle, and I didn't want to be punished if I was riding a real bicycle. So I cut a broom stick and put it in between the handlebars and the seat and taped it there so people think I had a broom bicycle. So we have fond memories. And I believe down through, looking back at my granddad, was so mechanically inclined. My dad was inclined. And I can work on a few cars and so forth. My son is mechanically inclined. And now my grandson mention the house that my sister was talking about. I didn't see it happen, but I was already told it was on the hill, and the Route 60 was coming through, and it would go right through their property and their house. And Mr. Dickinson negotiated to have that house move off of the hill down into Malden, where it is still there today, and so that they wouldn't lose their house. And I remember the old house, but I remember the new house a lot more because I would go up there and visit them. I would always, my grandmother was a Coca-Cola, and when I worked in the company store, she would say, "Little Earl, would you bring me a case of Coke home?" And I would try to bring that home on my bicycle. But she would always be walking around with a Coke in her hand, and I can remember that, and she was a tremendous cook.
About how old were you in 60 went through?
Well, 60 went through in 60, totally in 62, but right here, I think that's on the hill. And, of course, I graduated in 56, and I would have been about, big in math, but I was out of when it totally went through. And in Sabell, past Rand, up in the middle, but I was getting ready to go in the service.
So when you had that birthday party, the house was still on the Dickinson property?
But that wasn't, that was Dickinson property, or?
Remember the walkway that you had to go up and hold on to that pipe and whatever. I was always told that the Dickinson came in front of their place. The salt was filling the whole mountain over on the other side of their house. And that would be their problem.
Where they moved it down in Malden, they still were standing and people live in. That's
my dad's sister moved in with my grandparents until they all died. Then she died, and then I think they sold the house to somebody, but it was still standing and it still looks good.
Where, what street is that?
When you start to go around, it's the last street in Malden on the left. I'm not so sure the name. I could be wrong, but I'm not if it's Pine Drive or but it's the last street on the left, and it's where right on the corner the Dickinson owned that property and that house, and they tore it down, so it's the only house. three doors. When you went in the right-hand door, there was a little set of stairs that went straight up. And we were always told that the homeowners would take their slaves to church with them, and they couldn't sit down in the lower part.
Mm-hmm.
They would sit in the upper part. And when we went to church there, I looked one time, and that's where the bell tower was also. And you could see where the slaves or whoever sat there would be not interested, and they would take their knife and whittle the benches.
Oh.
And carve them with their dental, and the church still stands. I know they were part of the church and part of making sure the church had a man, which was a building for the pastor to live in.
Yeah.
And I know John would get the candy into the store at Christmas time, and then we would all put it in little plastic bags. My father brought candy for all the children.
Yeah.
And he was very devoted to the church. When we would go have the church picnic, we would always let all the kids ride in the limousine back then to the swimming pool. And they were just a swell family.
Did they have a school?
No. They would always take us to Dunbar, and that was a 4-H school. And they had a big pool.